The Day of the Hunters. Turn to the 16th chapter of Jeremiah. Most of you men and ladies know what fishing is and what hunting is. So I want to show you that in God's Word there is a day for both, and today is the day of the hunters. Jeremiah was a prophet to the house of Israel near the end of Israel's transgression. And Jeremiah was called upon by God to more or less the final prophet to the house of Israel and tell them that their sin and transgression against God had reached the end, that God was going to remove them from the land, just as he had told them over the last centuries. And this was about 600 B.C. when Jeremiah was giving this prophecy. We'll read part of it in Jeremiah 16, starting in verse 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes, and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. So it arrived at the time where it wasn't the case where the prophet said, well, if you don't do such and so, God's going to drive you out of the land. Now it had arrived where God says to them, I'm going to drive you out of the land, and then as this happens, then you tell them why it's happening. Ye have done worse than your fathers, and behold, ye walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not. Notice, God is going to take them from there, send them out to another land, neither ye nor your fathers, and there ye shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. A time of trouble and punishment, where they would actually have other gods. Told them that they would have other gods. But Jeremiah did the same thing that the rest of the prophets did every time they came to bring the warning of judgment and condemnation on the house of Israel. They always ended the prophecy with a prophecy of a future restoration to Israel. In other words, the good news was always given last. And here it is, starting in verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Remember, this was the thing all the way in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers, Joshua, Judges, and Samuel, Kings, and so on. Israel was always warned and instructed to tell their children to remember when God brought them out of Egypt. But now he says that day is going to be over. You're not going to talk about being delivered out of Egypt, but instead, in verse 15, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he hath driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Sometime in the future, the children of Israel would cease to talk about deliverance from Egypt and talk about a regathering of the children of Israel. But before that was done, something had to be done by God, and here's what he said he'd do. Verse 16, behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them, and after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. Now, Bible students or students of prophecy know that in prophecy, the word mountains means great nations, and hills means smaller nations, and the holes of the rocks is symbolic of bondage or trouble or places where Israel is hiding because of the trouble. So Israel would be in nations, large ones, small ones, and generally speaking in trouble when God sent the hunters after them. But you notice the order here, that the first thing that they would do would send fishers. Following the fishers would come hunters, and as a result of this, Israel eventually would be regathered, and then they would say and preach and praise about the Lord who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the lands whither he had driven them, and of course into their own land. He goes on in verse 17 and 18, "For mine eyes are upon all their ways, they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes." God watches Israel very closely and very carefully, and would to God we'd get that through our heads, that God's eyes are upon the children of Israel. "And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land, they have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things." Now Jeremiah, as I say, was literally the last prophet. These things did come to pass. At the time that Jeremiah gave this, the northern or ten-tribed house of Israel was already gone in the Assyrian captivity. Jeremiah lived through the capture of the rest of Jerusalem and Judah and taking in of Israel into Babylon. In fact, Jeremiah was actually called a traitor by his own people because he told them they were going to be captured and conquered by Babylon. So this was the end, at the end of the prophet Jeremiah was the end of Israel as a nation. And we know from the rest of the prophecy and from fulfilled history, that these people were taken away just exactly the way he said. Now, verse 16 said, as we read, that God was going to send fishers to fish them. After the fishers would come the hunters. Turn with me over to Ezekiel 34, because Ezekiel also was a prophet to the both of the north and south houses of Israel. In Ezekiel 34, he's talking about this thing that would come to pass when they're driven from the land and scattered. And in verse 6, he says, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill." This is symbolic, again, of Israel being driven through the nations, large and small. Doesn't mean they're just going out on physical hills. He's talking about driving them through the nations. "Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." Now again, the northern tribes of Israel went into the Assyrian captivity about 740 B.C. The Babylonian captivity was completed in 521 B.C., which means that multiplied millions, perhaps as many as 20 to 30 millions of Israelites, went into captivity in Assyria and Babylon. Now, Bible history tells us of 43,000 who came back from Babylon to Jerusalem. And unlike our fundamentalist friends, we sincerely believe that not all of Israel came back to Jerusalem. Israel was gone. Israel was already moving on into Europe 700 years before the time of Christ. And he says here of this dispersion that no one was seeking after them. Verse 7, "Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord." Now, he's talking about Israel gone, driven out, gone into dispersion. "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." So God has told the prophets, I'm going to drive them from Canaan land, I'm going to drive them through the nations, but I am going to search and to seek my sheep. "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country." So here is God's specific personal promise to the house of Israel that he would come and seek and gather them out of the nations wherein he had driven them. In verse 16, he says, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. This is what Israel was called, lost, driven away, broken, and sick. And every one of the prophets talked about Israel in that state, and they were dispersed because of this sin that they were in, this corruption, and they were driven away. Now, only Israel, of all the people upon the earth, are called sheep in the Bible. And you'll notice, in all of the prophets, including some I won't have time to read, whenever God talks about the regathering of his people, he always talks to them as a sheep or a flock, and himself as the shepherd. And I'll just give you a few you might want to read. David calls Israel the sheep in 2 Samuel 24:17. Micah, a prophet, calls them sheep in 1 Kings 22 and verse 17. And then let's read a few verses in the Psalms so that you understand that in the New Testament, when people are called sheep, it of necessity must mean the house of Israel. Psalm 44 and verse 11, Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Verse 22, Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Psalm 74, verses 1 and 2. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation. In other words, the word congregation is also used for Israel. This is what they're called in Exodus, the congregation of Israel, and they're called a sheep. Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. In Psalm 79 and verse 13, the psalmist ends that with, So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Psalm 95, and there are more of these, I'm just reading a few. Verse 7, For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Turn over to Jeremiah the prophet again, so you understand that Jeremiah knew that the sheep that God was to seek were to be the house of Israel. In Jeremiah 50 and verse 6, My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Now you'll notice in all of this, and this is just a remark in passing, that the thing that caused Israel to sin and be driven out of land apparently were the preachers. He says the preachers are the ones who caused them to err, and that because of that they have been driven out among the mountains and among the hills. Verse 17, Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria hath devoured him. Remember, we said they went into the Assyrian captivity. Ended, the battles and wars ended between 740 and 720 B.C. And last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Second and final captivity, final dispersion of the children of Israel, was by the king of Babylon in about 521 B.C. All right, go back to Ezekiel 34 again. And we read in verse 6, My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. My flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. But God says, No man seeks after them, but in verse 16, I will seek that which was lost, I'll bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. Now, Jeremiah, of course, we saw, was prophesying the same thing, and those that seeking would be done first by fishers and secondly by hunters. All right, now let's turn to what we call the New Testament, more rightly should be called the New Scriptures, because all of this is the Testament of God. But this New Testament or New Scriptures is the story of Jesus Christ, who is called the Redeemer of Israel, And we see that he has chosen men here by Matthew 10. He has chosen men to follow him and work with him. Here is his instruction to those 12 people, those 12 men of Israel. Chapter 10 of Matthew, starting in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice, in the Old Testament, Israel was driven away, called sheep, and God says, I will come to them and gather them. Now Christ comes and instructs his disciples to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 15 and verse 24, But he answered and said, and this is Christ speaking, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 18 and verse 11, after giving a parable, Christ ends the parable by saying, For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Now, this word lost should be explained before we go on, so that you know this. Whenever you read your Bible, there are 13 places in the New Testament where the word lost is used in relation to the house of Israel. And I think to explain it, I'll just read a paragraph in my book on Paul and Joseph of Arimathea, so you know you can have a copy of this in writing, on page 26, to understand what he meant by the lost sheep. We must know what the Greek word is which is translated lost. In this case, as in all 13 instances where lost is used in the New Testament in relation to Israel, it comes from the Greek word apolumi. Any good concordance will show that apo means off, away, separated, departure or cessation, and olumi means destroy, ruin, death, or punishment. Every minister in the nation could easily know that lost, rather than meaning that something that has been lost track of, more correctly means put away or put off or put away in punishment. Christ's instructions to the disciples were for them to go to the apolumi, the put away and punished sheep of the house of Israel. So the instructions, the very plain instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ were that he came and he sent his disciples to the same lost sheep that we read about in the Old Testament as the people that God would drive through the nations, but he would send fishers of men to go after them and bring them back to himself. All right, turn to the 19th chapter of Luke. Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus is identified as an Israelite. And then in verse 9 and 10 of Luke 19, Jesus said unto Zacchaeus, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much, or because, as he also is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus, salvation is here in your house today because you're an Israelite. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus makes it very plain that his mission, his reason for coming, was to seek and save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The conclusion to this can be none other than that Jesus Christ is the God Jehovah who promised Israel he would come and seek them. He has now done so. In the New Testament, it shows his origin and his reason for coming. Now turn to Matthew 4. In the original choosing of these disciples, who we later see he instructs to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and we read in verses 18 through 20, And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. So he not only instructs them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he says, I'm going to take you fishers of fish and I'm going to make you fishers of men. That's what Jeremiah wrote, that God had said that he would send fishers to the house of Israel to fish them. In Mark 1, verse 17, I read, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." So we have a double witness that these apostles were called fishers of men. Then turn to Luke 5, where the miracle of the fishes is given, where he caught this tremendous number of fish. And then in verse 8, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And this Greek word translated capture actually means catch alive. Now, usually, when you talk about fishing, you catch fish and you kill them. But in the Greek word, and it would have been better for our understanding if we realized that Jesus had said to these men, after saying to them, "You will be fishers of men," you're going to catch them alive. And the word means alive. Strong's Concordance gives that definition. So I think that it is very easy to arrive at the conclusion that the Lord Jesus Christ was the beginning of the fulfillment of God's promise that he would come after the lost sheep of the house of Israel and would fish for them, and that he would catch them by fishing, because he makes it very plain that he sends them, his disciples, as fishers of men, and he sends them to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I also think it's rather significant. Most of you who know church history know that in the first several hundred years of what we call the Christian dispensation, the secret sign of the Christian was the sign of the fish. And during the Roman persecutions, individuals identified themselves to other individuals by making or writing or carrying or having on their person the sign of the fish, indicating, I believe, that being a Christian, they considered themselves a caught fish. They had been caught by the fishers that God had sent to the house of Israel. Turn over to Matthew 10 again. You won't have to turn to all of these if you don't wish. I want to read these verses again. I can hardly impress upon my listeners enough of who it was that Jesus Christ came to fish for. We have a strange understanding that he came to fish for the heathen. No, in Matthew 10 and verse 6, he told his disciples, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In Matthew 15:24, Jesus said of himself, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In Matthew 18:11, we read of his purpose, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Nowhere in the Scripture is anyone other than the house of Israel called a lost sheep. So Christ of necessity must have come to those lost sheep. All right. I don't like to do this too much, but I see Pastor Emery is reading as his authority and references today all of Pastor Emery's writings, but I guess it's just as well so that people know where they can get some of this. This is not something that I made up. This is just a very little recap of history that is being very diligently hidden from our people by the preachers and by the history book writers of the last several decades. Referring to the Israelite captivity, in all probability, more than 10 million of the Israelites went into the Assyrian captivity over 700 years before Christ. And yet today, ministers and the news media would have us believe that the less than 20 million people who call themselves Jews represent all the descendants of this multitude of Israel. Down the page, I quote, "Historical and archaeological records show that from 700 B.C., a race of people who kept herds of cattle and sheep, who were skilled in metal and wood, excellent warriors and artisans, and who had a rather high state of civilization, moved north and west from the area of the Caucasian Mountains to the plains of Eastern and Central Europe and the north coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Our history books call them the Caucasian race. We who have searched history, both sacred and profane, know they are the children of Israel, God's chosen people. And in Europe, God began to speak comfortably unto her, as he had promised in Hosea 2 and verse 14. The descendants of these Israel people, driven north and west, and known to us in history as the Danes, or the tribe of Dan, the Teutons, the Goths, which means God's people, the Celts, the Normans, the Swedes, or the Svedans of the tribe of Dan, the Norwegians, which means the North God's people, the Belgae, the Picts, the Angles, or Angels, which means sons of God, the Welsh, the Irish, the British, which means covenant man, the Saxons, which means the sons of Isaac, the Americans, the Canadians, the Australians, and the white Africans, have gotten on their knees before the Redeemer of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and have said, Thou art my God. They have fulfilled these and other prophecies to Israel, to the dotting of the I's and the crossings of the T's, yet fundamental and full gospel preachers still preach from their radios and from their pulpits that the Jews are Israel. May God forgive the liars in the pulpits who tell us that the Antichrist is God's chosen people instead of the simple truth that Jesus Christ came to our race dispersed in the coastlands of the Mediterranean and Europe to fish them with fishers of men. And it is significant, as we point out in here from history, that the disciples of Christ did not go to the Negro in Africa, they did not go to the Asiatic in Asia, they only went to one race of people, the Caucasian race on the continent of Europe, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now turn back to Jeremiah 16:16 again, we'll read that verse, because I think it is necessary for us to understand how these prophecies are fulfilled to get a good idea of where we are today. God said, Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And remember, Jeremiah is talking about Israel. So the fishers must of necessity have been prophesied to fish Israel. We read in the New Testament that Jesus Christ came to Israel, he sent his disciples to Israel, and he called them fishers, fishers of men. But then Jeremiah goes on in verse 16, and after, in other words, sometime after the fishing is done, will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. Turn to Luke 14. I won't take time to read all of this parable, but you might want to read all of it. I'll read enough to give you an idea of what it is. This is the parable of the supper prepared by the king. It's a kingdom parable, starts in verse 16 of Luke 14. Then he said unto them, in other words, Christ is telling this, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. In the next several verses, he tells that they went out to them, but most of them had something else to do. They didn't come. They were busy with this, and they were busy with that, and they were doing something else. And then verse 21, So that the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And you recall that back there in the Ezekiel 34, Christ said, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. In other words, God called Israel all of these physical ailments at a time when they would be regathered. Now the king sends his servant out on the highway to gather just that kind of people. And in this parable, he calls them the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. In other words, he went and did this, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I would have you consider that during this so-called Christian dispensation, that the Christian religion has been taught in a manner of you can accept it or not as you wish. More or less in the manner that we go fishing. Most of you men are fishers. Some of you ladies have been fishers. And you know that you take a line and a hook and you put some bait on it and you put it down in the water. The fish can take it or not as he wishes, right? He has the choice. He can make the choice. If your bait is good, you think that you've done a good job and you've caught your fish. Just as a fisher of men who believes when he preaches the gospel and they come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ has done a good thing. That is fishing. You never see the quarry. You don't know what's down there in the water. You're fishing among all sorts of creatures, and you take whatever grabs your line. In fact, we have just recently completed a little fishing up in northern Arizona and southern Utah, and we fished with the same bait, and we caught good fish and bad fish. Now, some of those bad fish that we threw back, a lot of fishermen would keep, thinking they had caught the right thing. In other words, many fishermen, when they fish, don't know necessarily what they're fishing for. And apparently, it was God's purpose in this dispensation that most of the preaching that would be done to all of the people and just let them accept if they would. In other words, fishing. Even if you use a net, you take everything, the good and the bad. But you notice this servant, at the end, is sent out to get the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind, and he is told in verse 23, compel them to come in. He did not say to the servant, ask them. He said, compel them to go in. Now, I would have you think of the difference between the fisher and the hunter. When the hunter goes out for his quarry, he knows his game. He can recognize it upon sight. He sees it before he captures it, and he is hunting only for one thing. He does not shoot rabbits when he's hunting deer. And I wonder how many people have understood Jeremiah's prophecy that the fishers for the last 1900 years have been fishing primarily in the house of Israel. They have caught 99% of their catch has been Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, and Scandinavian peoples at a time when most of the fishers did not know they were catching Israel. In fact, today, most ministers will tell you that the Jews are God's chosen people, and for some reason or other, we just never caught any of them. Isn't it strange that the bait of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is taken primarily by the very people that God said he would fish and catch? And when I come along and tell these poor, deluded Christians that we are God's Israel people, that we are fulfilling all of the prophecies to the house of Israel, that we were the ones whose fathers were in the Assyrian captivity, that we were the ones who migrated into all the nations, and we are the ones who have been gathered in this new land, new Canaan land, if you please, primarily by the efforts of the fishers who were sent to the house of Israel, they think I'm crazy. Well, I believe it was God's purpose in using this terminology that we would understand that the fisher is largely blind as to what he's catching until after he's got the whole catch there, and somebody says, well, look, those are all such and so. But the hunter of today, who is to follow the fisher, is entirely different. And I would state this without fear of contradiction, that the only preachers in the nation who could be called the hunters, who are now following the fishers, are those who know the Anglo-Saxon people are the descendants of the house of Israel. We know our quarry, we know our game, we know what we're hunting for, and we disregard all other things and go as hunters who see the game before the game sees it. And I believe that we have now come to that time in history where the fishers are now finding their bait is not working. People are not coming voluntarily to the bait that they are preaching. They are often using the wrong bait and many times fishing for the wrong people. So God is going to end that. And now he says to the servant, you go out and compel them to come into my house. We're getting ready now for the banquet, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the feast, if you please, when Israel will be compelled to come into God. And I believe that most of you know enough about the scripture prophecies to know that in the end of this age, all the power and the force of Israel will be used by God to destroy the non-Christians in the land and turn this nation to Christ. And I believe that the end has come, as Jeremiah 16:16 tells us. And after the fishers are through, and they've had 1,900 years to do their work, will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every nation and from every small nation and out of the holes of the rocks. Brother, sister, I think you and I had better put away the fishing gear, quit worrying about what we're catching, and go after the quarry, the game at the end of the age, the house of Israel. Let's preach God's word to Israel and fulfill the prophecies of the day of the hunter. Let's all stand. My Father and my God, we thank you that the evidence of thy word and of the things that are upon us is that we are in this end of the age. Thy people have been regathered. Lord God, help us to preach this word that will compel them to come in. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.